You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. You have your two star-studded hosts here. We're the best in the entire world, the best in the galaxy, some would say. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast in any galaxy.
But mostly even those that are far, far away and a long time ago.
But unfortunately, we are stuck in this one, so.
It's true.
That's all right. We still like it here because this is the one where we get Grey's Anatomy.
And Grey's Academy.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Best of both worlds. Okay, so let's get into it. This is a good one. I almost texted you before you watched it to be like, hey, this might be a longer episode because it's setting up a lot for the finale, but I didn't want to like build up your expectations and have you be disappointed. So I just didn't. And then when you texted me, fuck, I was like, well, I guess he just watched it. So, but did you feel like you had a lot to say in this one? Cause I felt like I have a little more notes than normal. And I was stopping a lot to write a lot of things.
I had to stop and write a couple of times, but it was more so like thoughts on the dialogue as opposed to specific notes on the dialogue. Mm-hmm. I want to say one thing, and okay. I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead. No. You know what?
Just let's do get it. Through the it's first our podcast.
Okay. All right. The scene with Izzy and Denny is the new version of the George Meredith scene for me now. Fucking hate it. So, what?
The crying scene where they both cry. Yes.
Oh, okay. Where she's sitting there, what
she's
am
like
I gonna do?
A mental breakdown, like full-on mental breakdown.
It's insane. You forced me to love you. Oh my gosh, this is George and Meredith. This is insane.
It's a lot. This is a lot in this one.
So now, I'm sure they're gonna play into that for the next three or four intro recaps, even going into next season. So. Basically that's the new version of the cringy, George Meredith crying scene now. So,
got rid
really
of one crying scene and just filled it, just slid right on in with another.
Yeah. So we'll get more into that, but basically it was just so cringy, so awkward, very uncomfortable. And I'm like, this is just not how the world works, Izzy. I don't understand. But I will say, and I'll explain more in this episode, but she is my new least favorite character on this entire show.
Yes.
How she has fallen so far from grace.
I love that. Okay, so we'll get into it for real. This is the 25th episode of the second season. It is overall the 34th episode, and it is called 17 Seconds. Take it away.
Yes, it is. So 17 Seconds is actually the title song of the second studio album by The Cure, released April 22nd, 1980. Now, this the specific song, 17 Seconds, was released on the B-side. It was not a single, and it did not chart on its own. However, the album itself did chart as high as number 20 on the UK albums chart in 1980 to 1981, as high as number 9 in New Zealand, 15 in the Netherlands, and 39 in Australia. It did end up in the 2020 when they do the re-release, the reissue of albums, and it reached number 186 on the U.S. Billboard 200, and it reached number 36 on the top rock albums. So it aged a lot better than its initial reception, but the specific song itself did not do terribly well. I will say, listening to this song, I hate it. It was not good. It's not a good song. The song kind of sucks. Literally, there's virtually no lyrics in it, and the music is just awful. And also, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I want you guys to know that this is not... this is a hot take, all right? I don't like The Cure. I don't think The Cure is a good band. I don't think they're good. There's no good songs by them. As a punk rock fan myself, they're kind of like punk rock royalty. I just have never liked their music. So I apologize if I offend anyone with that. Just message me directly at carmen.gabriel.official and tell me how much you hate me. But don't listen. You can say any mean thing you want, swear at me, be derogatory. I don't care. But if you spoil the show for me, Kelki and I will find you.
I like that. Is that still her go-to threat when you argue that she's going to spoil Grey's Anatomy for you?
I think she has not watched. She's in season 9 and she like stopped. She completely fell off a cliff.
That is what she does.
I'm using rewatching Suits as a distraction. So I think she's getting her fix on TV shows elsewhere. But I will say, so I have the lyrics pulled up for 17 seconds. And it reminds me of the stairway scene with Derek and Meredith. Mm-hmm. The light begins to fade and everything is quiet now. Feeling is gone. The picture disappears and everything is cold now. The dream had to end. The wish never came true. And I'm thinking to myself, that's for sure that moment. Mm-hmm. Very much like the glass facade, like the fake little world they lived in is ruined. It's gone.
Well, and it's
never
also
coming back.
Like, yeah, the whole, oh, we're friends thing is not so much
good. They were never friends.
Exactly. So I will say, I was wondering when I was watching it, I was like, did they pick an amount of time and then find a song, or did they just say, we need a song that's seconds? Because I think they knew they wanted it to be seconds, obviously not minutes. I don't know. I was just wondering. I was like, I wonder if they picked 17 seconds and then found that song, or if they were like, just find a song that's seconds and then we'll just use that and we'll plug that number into our script.
Yeah, I did like that. She said 17 seconds. That's not even long enough for a good kiss.
Yeah, it's not even
kiss.
The length of a decent kiss.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting.
So.
That's it for the song by The Cure.
Your favorite band.
Favorite band of no.
You know, Paul McCartney, I think, was in Nashville today. I think that was today. It might be tomorrow. Knoxville yesterday for sure.
Sorry, we'll catch him on the next tour.
Yeah, for sure.
If there isn't, if you would have come to Chicago, I want you to know that I would have gone without you. But he's not coming to Chicago.
Yeah, well, I would expect you to go without. I wouldn't be offended if you went without me.
Yeah,
so, no worries. Okay, so this episode was written by Mark Wilding and directed by Dan Minahan. It aired May 14th, 2006, to 22.6 million viewers. Let's see what Netflix has to say about this guy. Okay. Meredith and Derek receive bad news about their dog. Izzy takes drastic measure in hopes of getting a new heart for Denny. Let's say the first one is more Meredith and Derek bicker because they're in love. And Izzy goes a little bit insane. That would be my synopsis.
Oh, yeah. Also, you need to include something about
The shooting.
Maybe the shooting, or Addison starts to figure things out.
Yeah, this is what the one on IMDb says. The victims of a workplace shooting are admitted. Izzy puts her job on the line to ensure Denny gets a new heart. Callie makes an effort with Meredith, and Addison is suspicious of Derek. I feel like that's better than the Netflix one.
Yeah. right off the bat, I just want to say good episode for Callie. Great mm-hmm. episode for George.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we've hit a string of wins coming to an end with a bad episode for Addison. Bailey is always a queen. I guess that's really, I really have nothing ever bad to say about Bailey.
It's true.
Not a lot of screen time for her though in this episode.
Yeah, we didn't get a lot of Bailey in this one, but you know, she's great. We love her. We stan.
Yeah.
She's a queen.
And obviously a terrible episode for Izzy. Just absolutely god awful.
Yeah, not a good
trash.
Look. You know, it's good times out here for Dr. Stevens. Not really anything either which way for Alex, honestly. He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive on in.
Start with that recap.
I wrote Izzy and Denny Palooza, because there was a lot of Izzy and Denny in the recap. Basically every time they've ever interacted was in the recap. So
a montage of their entire relationship.
The majority of the recap was them. So in case you weren't sure what this episode was going to be about. Did the recap prompt any predictions for you for Izzy and Denny?
I said Denny for sure dies this episode.
I mean, here's the thing. If you go off of the cutaway moment, you're not wrong.
Hey, that's what I thought. I'm like, there's no way he lives.
She stopped his heart. He is flatlined.
Oh my gosh. And then when Meredith says, but Burke hasn't forgiven you, it gets me every time.
I know, it's such a good line.
It's so like funny. Literally Christina's like, well, Burke forgave me, and she's like, but he fucking hasn't, Christina.
I love it when they like call each other out, because I feel like it doesn't happen that often. They're just always blindly on each other's sides.
Yeah,
but like sometimes they're like, okay, but you're dumb. I think it's funny.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, Meredith and the vet, Callie and George, Christina and Burke are still fighting. Meredith and Derek are fighting because Derek sucks. So that's the recap.
Yeah. Also, I was so in this beginning scene, by the way, when they're playing darts, I was very much pro Burke being mad at Christina, but about halfway through the episode, I'm like, okay, Burke, you're in the wrong now. You've lost the position of power.
He was doing the thing that Derek was doing last episode, where he's using his position of power in the workplace to like inflict punishment because of the anger, which I'm like, okay, if you just want to be mad, that's fine. You can be mad in your relationship, but you have to leave it at the door. Just separate it from your work. So it goes back to that other thing when he's like, when we're at work, I can't be your boyfriend. And she goes, oh, so when we're at work, I can sleep with other people.
Throwback.
So anyways, yeah, I agree. I understand that he's mad, but I am also like, what does he want her to do about it? She can't go back in time and stay awake during sex. I mean, she probably hasn't apologized, which she could do, but other than that, I'm like, what is it that you're looking for here?
Also, oh God.
Oh, sorry guys. It's 4 a.m.
4 a.m. 4 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Central. but it's 5 p.m. in England or something. I don't know. remember that time we flew to England?
Yeah, you know, the Queen's Jubilee is today.
Oh yeah, we were invited personally. We couldn't make it because we had to do this podcast.
I can't fly because I'm pregnant, so
what was I gonna say? Just like, you know, the best way to forgive someone for falling asleep during sex is to like just have sex. Like just,
again, and then everyone stays awake.
Yeah, and then it's fine. You're great. Also, the thing that bugs me most about that particular this character arc thing that, or this storyline that they have for them, is she said that she came twice.
Yeah.
Like, Burke, you did your job, buddy.
Yeah.
It just took you too long. I wouldn't be, I mean, I would be upset. Like, yes, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be upset, but like.
But you wouldn't linger on it for that long?
No. But like, all right, a blowjob's all I need, and I'm, and I forgive you. It would be very easy.
Just don't fall asleep during that, please.
Pretty please. Too funny. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so they're all at Joe's. Burke and Derek are throwing darts, and Christina and Izzy and Meredith are talking about how they think they're picturing, Meredith and Christina's faces. I do like Meredith's line where she's like, he called me a whore. He doesn't get to picture me anymore. I'm like, good. That's right. Stand your ground.
Yeah.
That man sucks. Alex shows up and Izzy's really rude. She's like, oh, we don't hang out with gynecologists. I am a snobby elitist. I sleep with my patients.
Yeah. And what
well, technically it, I mean, she hasn't it, done that, but whatever.
Right. What it, she, he said something though that prompted the response because
he said, is Izzy actually left the hospital, like left Denny's bedside basically.
Oh yeah. Been, like, so that means there. He's dead.
Oh yeah. He was like, oh, did Denny die? And that's why you left the hospital.
Yeah. It's so sad. Also, you got the sniffles too. We yeah, both are
and
sick.
Like, just, it's just that this cough won't go away because of this heckin' pollen.
Heckin' pollen.
And I'm also still pounding Tums because this heartburn is relentless.
Tums. And
baby better be cute. Anyways. Yes, he will. So then
sorry,
George.
Yes, he. I don't know why I say it. Like a fucking fine. Inconsiderate asshole.
Fine.
It.
We'll see if it's cute. No, Izzy, or sorry, George and Callie show up and everyone's like, George! And then they're like, oh, Callie, hey.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Like, Izzy, I understand because she's just like a psychopath. So she's going to be jealous and rude every time she has the opportunity. But like with Meredith and Christina, especially, I'm like, why does Christina give a shit?
At all.
Yeah.
She didn't have sex with George and start crying halfway through. And
even though Meredith
also,
did tell her to do that.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, I don't understand the Callie hate. And she has a good point A to point B arc in this episode.
Yeah, very
as well.
I agree. Okay, so then Meredith, Derek, and Addison are at the vet talking to Finn about what's going on with Doc, and he's like, okay, he has bone cancer. And that's sad. We can maybe do chemo, but you know, it's not good. And Derek and Meredith are just arguing, and it's like very tense, and Addison is like picking up on the vibes
because she's in tune with the world.
Yeah. And also because they're pretty much not subtle at all.
Yeah.
So then they're all in the elevator and she's like asking them about it. And they're like, it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's great. It's fine. We're not in a fight. Everything's fine. We're all friends. We all are in love. This relationship
Duh.
Is
Can't
normal.
You tell? Yeah. We're just sad about this dog. Fuck. Yeah.
We're so mad about the dog being sick. Okay. So then Christina is talking to Burke about the heart transplant. She's like, oh, can I come? I went with Dr. Bailey and I was super helpful. And he's like, I'm sure you were, but I don't need any help. So why don't you stay here? And she's like, I'm angry. So good stuff. Ambulance shows up. The ER is already super crowded because this gunman went into a restaurant and just started shooting at people. Bailey and Christina are treating the couple who are fighting because when the guy started shooting, he hid behind the girl like a human shield, which is an interesting response if that's your fiance. So what were your thoughts on those people? They were neat, huh?
Yeah, I did not like them. And also there was it was good vindication for the final scene where she's like, we're so done.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. A couple should love each other so much that they both jump in front of the other person and then their heads collide and they're both unconscious.
Perfect.
That's
perfect
how
world.
You want to go out. Yeah. In a perfect world, in an unperfect world, or I guess I should say a slightly less perfect world, the man will jump in front of his woman. In a same-sex marriage, you guys should flip a coin and decide on which days of the week you human shield the person.
That's
and
really
which
what
days...
we should all be doing. We should all just flip coins and assign days to who is the human shield for that day. That seems fair.
Yeah, every Tuesday, Jess is the human shield.
Or maybe no one's a human shield, and we just all hide together.
Or we live in a perfect world where there's, yeah, no mass shootings.
Yeah, that's really
no mentally ill
world.
People. Yeah. Unless which case your significant other is pregnant with your child, in which case every day of the week they are protected by you as a human shield.
Yes, that seems fair.
Yeah. Like right now, if you flip the coin and Tuesday is your day, but you're pregnant with a child, there's no reason that you're saving Michael.
Yeah, no, he's fine. He can take care of us both.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I hated that couple. Also, the guy who was the dickhead manager, do you recognize him?
Oh my God. Yeah, and I knew you would too, because I looked it up and I was like, oh, Carmen will know him from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, he was the stupid. He plays the exact same fucking character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. And, you know, he kind of reminds me of like a knockoff version of the bomb guy.
Yeah, but like a less charming, less handsome version.
Exactly. Like a dollar store
version. Yeah. He's the standard market or the market pantry. What's the target?
I ordered it on Wish.
Oh my gosh. That was good.
So Callie comes in to check on Meredith's patient because he was shot in the leg. Derek is working with George and the patient who's unconscious. Her name is Kendra. Izzy is pulling glass out of the manager, who is a raging asshole. And this is the kind of asshole where I'm like, it's like not intentional, which is like almost worse. I'm like, you are just this way. And like, you don't even know that you're doing it. And I'm like, that's almost worse than choosing to do it. It's so bad.
Yeah. He's the kind of asshole that was a star quarterback in high school.
Oh yeah. He peaked in high school for sure.
And peaked. Yeah. And peaked and never made it out of high school, never made it out of anything, never amounted to anything. Yeah. And still lives in his parents' basement and never left his hometown. That's the kind of asshole he is.
It's not the vibe. So Izzy does call him out on his bullshit, which is nice. Because she's like, these people have gunshot wounds. You're being the worst. And then she's like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Petey was looking for you. Like, basically, this is your fault because you're such an asshole that this guy was trying to shoot you. And now he shot all these other people and you jumped out of a window. Good job. So it's just a gross person. Alex comes down to the ER and says he's still supposed to be on OB. The chief is talking to Burke and, they're like, oh, they're probably going to be more incoming injuries because they didn't catch the shooter. So he could like have gone other places to shoot and like be shooting other people. So we have to like be on the lookout. And Burke offers to stay. And the chief's like, no, you need to go get this heart, whatever, whatever. And so Alex hears him and he's going to go ask if he can go. And Christina's like, no, he's not going to let you go. I already asked. And so she runs after him too. And then of course, Burke is like, yeah, Alex, let's go. Why not? So Christina does not take kindly to that.
Well, that was the exact moment that Burke transitioned into the wrong.
Yeah, I would agree 1,000%.
I think he was fine to say no earlier when he was going to go alone.
Yeah.
But then once he actively chose
Alex.
He's just
like, Alex, I see an opportunity to piss her off. I will most certainly be taking it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the exact transition for me.
That's some Scorpio bullshit. Just kidding. And
it's fair, honestly.
Is that what you would do?
No, I wouldn't.
But
because
maybe.
I would have just told, if I was Burke, I would have just told Christina, just suck my dick and we're fine. And I will move past all of this like it never happened.
Yeah. And then we can all take a nice nap because we're sleepy people.
Everyone deserves good sex with their partner. Okay. All right. And also just give each other the oral, just do it. Right. Come on.
I mean, if everyone wants to, don't do it. If someone doesn't want to.
Well, if the person doesn't want to receive it, then fine.
Well, if the person doesn't want to give it, then they shouldn't have to give it.
Everyone should have a giving heart in a relationship, you know?
Yeah. But if you don't want to do something sexual, you know, very well, you understand what I'm meant to
do.
Oh
my gosh. You understand what I mean by that.
Some people don't want to give a blowjob.
Okay, fine, then don't give a blowjob. But like, that's all then I'm saying. Also, it's either don't give a blowjob or don't fall asleep during sex. You can't have both.
I think you can absolutely have both. Everyone has different sexual arrangements in their relationships.
Maybe they really get off on that person falling asleep while having sex. Maybe they flipped a coin and Tuesdays fall asleep during sex night. This is going off the deep end.
We're doing really great. Okay.
And so, the title card.
And title card. Oh, right. First, Burke tells Alex that the heart is for Denny. And then it's the title card. 722. Okay. So then Izzy goes to ask Bailey, like, if she can go to Denny. And before she even says anything, Bailey's like, go away. Do not ask me about Denny. You are being inappropriate and unprofessional. Go away from me and go back to the ER where all these people are dying. And she's like, but I love Denny. I must be with him at all times. It's just so bad. And like, I don't understand why Bailey gives in. I really don't. Because she knows. She knows it's inappropriate. She knows Izzy's crossing this line. And she's like, she gives Izzy the opportunity, which I guess is, I understand. But I also don't understand it at all.
Well, I wrote there that, so I said Bailey is letting Izzy work with Denny. Bad choice. It's an omen. And then I said, now that she's told him, he's for sure going to die. so that was what I wrote there. But I knew it was an omen somehow.
Yeah. Well, putting them together obviously creates the entire plot of the episode. So
yeah,
you're kind of
chaos.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So Derek's patient needs brain surgery and also she's pregnant. The manager is, I wrote, the manager is literally such a huge piece of garbage. Like, someone needs to tell him to shut up immediately. Everyone in this room hates him. So I assume at that point he was running his mouth. I don't know what it was he said, but that's what I wrote. So,
well, it might've been the scene when he was like, you know, you guys should have been in management. Like, what, I could be in here for a year. And I wouldn't have to pay a dime. Yeah.
Or it could have been when he's like, I'm just such an athlete.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. When he jumped through the window.
I just can't. This man. So bad. So horrendous. Okay. So then Meredith's patient is asking about Kendra. And he's like, can you find out if she's okay? We're like kind of friends. She's super nice to everybody. Blah, blah, blah. She works really hard. Callie comes over. Has a bit of an attitude with Meredith. Kind of, I guess we're meant to believe that it's because Meredith and them have been being weird to her about George, or maybe she's bitter towards Meredith on George's behalf because she knows what happened between them. Either way, I don't super understand like where Callie's attitude is coming from in this moment.
Yeah, my only thought process is the first thing you said is they're being weird to her, so she's retaliating in the only way that she can, which is fighting fire with fire.
Yeah,
you know,
you got a lot of people in the workplace using their power inappropriately. Love that. It's like the theme of the show. So Izzy goes to Denny's room to tell him that he's getting the heart. It's obviously flirting. She's obviously immediately doing exactly what she told Bailey she wouldn't do. She's like looking out the window to make sure she doesn't get freaking caught because she knows she's in the wrong. Because she's Izzy and that's just what she does. It's her favorite thing to do ever in the world. And then so they're like having a tell time. And then Patricia comes in. Love Patricia. Haven't seen her in a while. And she drops off the DNR papers and Izzy loses her damn mind. She is like,
yeah.
You absolutely cannot sign this. How dare you? Like, I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, who do you think you are? Even though we just had this very difficult conversation last episode about how you are not happy with your quality of life. I'm still very upset with you. All this stuff. It's just like, it's dumb. Is this when he talked about going to heaven?
Yes. That's when he says that I choose heaven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing.
That's his choice. That's fine.
Right.
Then he signs it and she gets mad.
Yeah. But also just don't. It makes no sense they've been in a relationship for, they're not even in a relationship.
Yeah.
They're not in a relationship, even though George does mention that they're in a relationship, weirdly, as a tool to get and connect with a patient later. it's just, they've been flirting for a couple of episodes, and she's so in love with him that she's willing to throw away her career at every episode.
I'm going to jump around a little bit, because I feel like this is very similar to at the end of the episode when Callie tells George that she loves him. I'm like, these people have not been in relationships this long. Like,
no,
I don't. I'm like, in both of these scenarios, I feel like they're very similar, because I'm just like, the leap from what we've seen to what we are now being shown makes no sense to me. And I understand there are people that move quickly, but like, specifically with Izzy and Denny, they're not together that much. Like, at least Callie and George, I'm like, okay, they like have free time they can be spending together, and they have like an actual relationship. But like with both of them, I just am like, you love this person? Do you even know their middle, like their last name? Do you know their birthday? Do you know the color of their eye? Do you know anything about them? Where are they even from? George didn't even know where Callie lived, because she was living in the fucking basement. Like, it's just weird.
Of the hospital, like a psychopath.
Yeah, it's
the only redemption for that is like the only, because I also went through this thought process, and I even made a note. Like, if I jump here, I'm like, where was it? I was like, she loves George. It's been three episodes.
Literally.
Is my exact note. But the thing is at one point, and I don't remember where it was in the show in my notes, but Callie was so quick to jump on like, oh, so you're defending Meredith. Oh, so you're defending Izzy. Oh, so you're defending, like, every time that there's a confrontation between her and George, it's, oh, you're defending this other person. And he's like, look, they're my family. Yeah. And if you want, like, I want you to be a part of this family. And at that point, like, when I reflected on it a little bit, I was like, okay, the love thing makes sense. Like, maybe there's some intimacy that's behind the scenes that we're led to believe with that kind of jump to this point. Yeah. But still, it is jarring.
We haven't seen enough of those interactions for us to be like, yeah, it's normal that she would say that she loves him.
Because last episode, they made it seem like they kissed for the first time or some shit like that.
Yeah, it was so very recent.
It's jarring. It's jarring for sure.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird for both of these couples. So I don't know. It's anyways, just wanted to point that out. So then Christina is with the fighting couple again, and the girl is like telling him that she's going to leave him. And then he's like, no, I love you. And she's like, oh, she's kind of like thinking that she's going to forgive him. And then Christina goes on the rant, and she's like, oh, that's how they get you with the I love yous and the move in with me's. And then they just abandon you, whatever, whatever. And I love this moment when the girl just goes, you're very, very bitter. I just think that's very funny every time I watch it.
It is. And it's so on point.
It's not wrong. And Alex and Dr. Burke get to the hospital with the heart donors, and the other surgeon we meet is Dr. Erica Hahn. And she went to school with Burke, and sorry, it's 5 a.m. And so she went to school with Burke, and he, like, they were obviously competitive in school, and he did better than she did, and blah, 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 whatever. So there's pre-existing confrontation between these two.
Is this someone that I'm supposed to care about? Is this a recurring character, or is this a throwaway character?
You're going to see her again. It's not really a spoiler. She's going to be around. It is what it is.
I mean, I assume she's at least going to be in the next episode.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair assumption. But yeah, she's not gone for good. So what were your thoughts on her?
I like anyone that's going to challenge Burke in any way, mm-hmm. because I think we touched on this in one of the past episodes, they make it sound like all of the greatest surgeons in the entire world work at this hospital. Like, yes. Addison is one of two people that have done a specific baby surgery, and Derek is the only person who something blah, blah, blah in a brain, and Preston's the best. And it's like, okay, I want to see someone challenge these people. I want to see some character conflict on a professional level. The personal stuff is fine, and I love it. It's the drama of the show. But I also, there's something about, like, if you watch Suits, like, there are people that make conflict because they're like, oh my gosh, Harvey Specter isn't the best. Wow, Mike Ross isn't the best. Lewis Litt, Rachel Pearson, right? Like, it's, they make these people, like, hit them head on in a competition. And that's what I want to see. So I'm actually really excited. I don't know this person, Dr. Han, but I hope that there's something in a competitive way, or I hope that Burke screws something up that she has to fix. Those were my initial reactions. By the end of the episode, I don't feel like
she gets a lot of hate for, like, being really bold and fighting for herself. And I'm just like, not to sound cliche, but I'm like, are you just doing this because she's a woman? If she was a man, you would be like, oh, that guy's just like fighting Dr. Burke for power. But like, if she's a woman, you're like, oh, what a bitch. So that's kind of was my feelings. I think I remember that sort of being the consensus when she was first introduced to the show. Again, at this point, I was not watching live. This was one of the first episodes I was shown. Well, this and the following two episodes were one of the first episodes I was shown later on that made me want to watch it live. But I was not at this point watching it live. But that was kind of the consensus when Dr. Han was brought on, was like, people were like, not liking her because she wasn't A, as like classically attractive as basically everyone else is on the show. And then B, she was like a very strong character, but happened to be a female. So everyone was like, oh, what a bitch, which happens a lot, unfortunately, but
it's very sad. Yes. I'm pro women empowerment. Be bold.
We like a strong lady stands
we
up.
Sure
she
do.
Knows, she knows she's talented. She's like Christina. You know, she knows she's good. And, why do you have to pretend that you're not good?
Exactly. I don't. And why should a woman?
Exactly. Anyways, so that's our soapbox for the day. We'll probably find
last
another
week
one
was last week was women's sexual rights, and this week is women's professional rights. What will it be next week?
Jesus Christ. Okay, so then we get Addison and Derek. So mad. I wrote. Addison is talking to Derek and he's back on his bullshit of being the worst, because we had like an episode and a half of him not being garbage and he was like, nope, that was too difficult. I'm going to go back to the super easy thing of treating my wife like shit. Ugh, pisses me off. Thoughts?
Just break up with him.
Honestly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm just done. I'm done with it. He's just a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, it's so annoying. It's like, I don't understand how people can defend this man. I really don't. I really just don't. And I feel like when I look at the whole Addison thing and I'm like, you know, we say, why doesn't she leave him? I think she feels like because she cheated, she doesn't have the right to then like end the marriage. Like she wants him to do it, which is also not like a healthy relationship move. But she's given him so many outs and he just keeps saying that he's fine. And he's just very obviously not. It's so annoying.
Yeah. It's very interesting because I reflect on this every time I watch an episode, even more so after this one. Kelsey, do you remember my favorite two characters, the first three episodes of the show that we were watching?
I believe it was Izzy.
And
Bailey?
Derek.
Oh, it was Derek.
Yeah. But only because
I do remember you saying that you liked his hair.
Yeah, and that was really it. And I was like, he's my favorite character based on his hair. Now, you know me better than you know me better than a lot of people in this entire planet.
It's true.
And it takes a lot for me to hate someone with that great of hair. And I do not like Derek. I hate him now.
It also can sometimes take you a moment to like realize your initial impressions were not correct. And so it's nice that you recognize that he is enough of a garbage person, even with his gray hair, to deserve your hatred.
Yeah, but it's mostly like I can look past the ego stuff in a lot of ways because I have an ego. The thing that I can't look past is just me. The thing that I can't look past is him just being a bullshit husband to Addison. And yeah. she's just so great.
Yeah. And we, she I know tries I'm jumping, so hard.
Yeah. And I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but it took how long? Almost a whole season for her to have this meltdown. And she finally blows
yeah.
up. She has the patience of a saint.
Like, I understand, obviously, she's not a saint. She slept with someone else while they were married. I understand right, that that's right. bad. But between the two of them, and she, again, from, like, the first episode we meet her, she is like, these are the options. We can split up, or we can work on this. Like, these are the options. We have these options. The ball is in your court. Because she knows that she did the wrong thing, so it's up to him. He picks to stay. Because he picks that, that leads her to have her actions, and she's trying to be patient. And, you know, we do get that moment where he's not trying to hurt her. He's being sincere. And he's like, just so you know, I was in love with Meredith. I need to get over it. But I want to get over it. But there's no effort on his side. And she's putting in so much effort. But anyone in a relationship knows it doesn't matter if one person is putting in 100%, if the other person is putting in 0%. Like, you can only do so much by yourself. One person cannot carry a relationship. It's so frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
And as, it's just like the same thing over and over and over.
And as two people, both of us who are in marriages, like, it takes more effort to prolong a fight than to just be okay. Like yeah. last night or the night before, Jessica and I got into a fight.
What?
And
that never happened.
Yeah. Two Scorpios fighting. While their Scorpio child sleeps in the next room, while their Scorpio dog is laying at the bedside,
Someone has ripped their kitchen to shreds.
I don't remember what the fight was about, but basically went to bed. We were a little bit frustrated. Like, you know, we both said our piece and was at whatever, yeah. but like, to wake up in the morning and actively decide that I'm going to ruin this fucking day by continuing last night.
Yeah.
Is so emotionally draining. Yeah, I don't understand the way yeah. they've written Derek is like that's the crazy thing. He's actively choosing to be a dick over and over and over, as opposed to saying like, okay, like, let me just love my wife.
Yeah. It's like, why do you want both things? Like, why do you want to be miserable and not be with the person you actually want to be with? And also make multiple other people miserable and like drag this out and like make, it's just so annoying. I just can't, it makes no sense to me. And I am a very petty person who like will hold a grudge, but like, I don't understand you? This. It's exhausting. Like, it must be exhausting for him. And I mean, for everyone involved, like, I'm just like, why are you doing this? It makes no sense. I mean, other than plot, you know, it is a television show, but
right.
It's fine. There's another soapbox.
Yeah. Anyways, 41 minutes into the show, we're going to get into the 15-minute mark of Grey's Anatomy.
So Burke and Alex get to the OR for their donor, and he has flatlined, which is a bummer. And they kind of imply sometimes it just happens. Like, I think, typically speaking, when someone is brain dead and they're being kept alive so that their organs can be harvested to donate, there's probably a good deal of medication that they're being put on to like stabilize it and make sure they're like okay to do this surgery and to take these organs, because they have to obviously keep all the organs alive. And I'm sure there's medical difficulties attached to that if the person is brain dead. So I assume it's just some kind of complication like that or whatever. So Burke turns around and sprints to the other OR, and he's like, you can't have the heart. We have to call Yunos and double check and see who actually gets it, because now we only have one and we have two recipients. So we have to see who technically was first. So, we go back to, the hospital. Callie is super grumpy. because she's like, everyone thinks they're more important than Ortho, blah, blah, blah. So that grumpy isn't at Meredith. That grumpy is a separate grumpy. And then Meredith asks her about her opinion on bone cancer in dogs. And that makes her really mad. To which I say, I kind of understand, but I also say there's no way you ever grew up with a dog. Because if you grew up with a dog, you wouldn't get that mad at that question.
No, not even a little bit.
So sometimes you can just tell when people didn't have pets growing up. So I understand that they have patients that are shot and in a lot of pain, but it's a valid question. So that's my opinion.
Also, she wasn't being like condescending at all.
Yeah, she was literally just asking. So then we go back to the other hospital. Burke and Han are on the phone with Yunos trying to figure out who gets the phone first. And this is when we find, who gets the patient? Who gets the heart? And this is when we find out that Dr. Han's patient was admitted 17 seconds before Denny, which is truly wild that they clock it that closely, because that's what it comes down to a lot of the time. And again, we're going to get on this soapbox again. If you aren't an organ donor, we encourage you to do some research and sign up to be one. Like, it just affects you probably in no way. And it could save literally so many lives. Also on this note, there is currently a nationwide blood shortage. So if you are eligible to donate blood, please consider looking into doing that, because it's another thing that's like super simple and can save a lot of lives. And it's really affecting like the whole country right now. So
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, to be clear,
sorry, go ahead.
For all of our listeners who are international, you're explicitly saying the U.S. has a blood shortage. Yes. But that doesn't change the thought process. Check with your local agencies.
I don't know what it is in other countries, like how that works in other countries. But yeah, absolutely, if you feel moved to do so, please do.
Yeah, we're talking to you, everyone listening in Germany, Canada, and Malaysia, who outside of the United
and
States.
Brazil. We got some Brazils.
And Brazil. Yeah, our top four international country listenership. So, you know, if you feel inclined to donate or update your donation status, do it. We encourage you to do it, but we can't legally advise you to do it.
Or request.
So this is, or request it.
So here in the U.S., a lot of the issues is a lot of donations came. They have what's called big red buses, which is basically like huge tour bus type things that are mobile blood donation centers. And they would drive around and go to like office buildings and schools and set up. Obviously, during COVID, they stopped that and they haven't gone back to like fully doing that. I think there's a very limited number of them that are out and about now. But that was a huge portion of where people would donate, because they would go to where the people were. It was super convenient because the people didn't have to like go out of their way to do anything. So because that being shut down from COVID, they're still seeing the repercussions, and there's just like very little blood all across the country. So if you're eligible, please look into it. You just never know who you know that could need it, or you could just be saving anybody, and you can do it. I think once every 6 weeks you can donate, I think. It's either once every month or once every 6 weeks. But yeah, normally they give you a like snack and juice and sometimes a free t-shirt. And also it's just, it affects you minimally and it can save multiple lives. So this is like my eighth soapbox for the day, but so sorry. Okay. So yes, the patient was admitted 17 seconds before Denny. They're fighting back and forth. Izzy calls in this moment to find out what's going on. Alex answers, and she just like, when he tells her what's going on, she just immediately starts lying. Just immediate lies. She's
it
like,
it was Denny. So bad.
And Alex knows, obviously, like it's clearly she's not being truthful. And he says, I'm not going to lie to you. And she says, then put Dr. Burke on the phone. She's just freaking out. And she's like, he has to get this heart or he will die, which she is saying because of the DNR situation.
So, here's my thoughts on that. I have very few like hard, steadfast lines in my life.
What?
I understand the like I can, here's the thing. When I say that, I can rationalize almost anything in my head.
It's true, he can. It's a gift.
So like the falling in love with a patient thing, I can rationalize that. I wouldn't do that, nor am I condoning that. I can rationalize it. What I can't rationalize is a blatant disregard for ethics that is going to end up potentially having a butterfly effect, which kills multiple people. And that is where Izzy's lie starts to form. And that's where this exact scene is where she transitions to be one of my least liked characters in the show.
Yeah.
Because she crosses my line. And that's something that is unforgivable, even for someone as attractive as Katherine Heigl.
Well, and I don't remember who says it to her, but at some point someone says, like, you can't steal another man's heart. Oh, I think it was Denny. He was like, I'm not okay with stealing a heart from another person who is going through the same thing, because he understands what the other person is going through. Which I think is, you know, an important thing to note, that Denny himself was like, you cannot steal a heart from another human being.
Yeah. Well, the worst part of all of those interactions with Denny is is it the five stages of guilt or the,
it's five stages of grief.
Grief. Right. Five, not guilt. I meant grief.
Yeah.
He's reached acceptance.
Yeah.
Like, Izzy is stealing his acceptance from him.
Yes, she's like, come back to bargaining and anger with me.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to like it on this side of the grief train.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. All right. Bad. That's my soapbox. I will die on that hill.
So Addison asks Meredith.
Oh, such a good scene.
This is a very good scene. If she's seen Alex, and Meredith's like, yeah, but like several hours ago, I'm not sure where he is. And then Addison kind of like falls over some words and like bumbles a little bit, which is obviously not something we see from her a lot. And she's like, I have to ask this question, and it's a shitty question. I have to ask it. I'm just going to ask it, and then you can answer it, and then we'll go from there. And so she says, are you sleeping with my husband? And she said, not since before I found out he was married, which is very correct. It is true. She's not lying. She's being honest. Then Addison says, Addison does say, it just seems like the fight you guys were having was a lover's quarrel. And then that's when Meredith says, no, I'm actually dating Finn, which Addison at this point did not know. So when she figures out that Derek is mad because Meredith is moving on, and you kind of like see her make this connection and you see her put it together, and you, it's just very sad to watch her reaction to this. And it's, she just does such a good job. And Meredith even goes to be like, Addison, that's like, it's not what you think. And she's like, nope, it's exactly what I think. I have to go now.
Yeah. It was so, it's such a well-written scene too, because it's like, it's coming from a place of where Addison is like, hey, I've said I'm your friend. I'm going to handle this like a friend.
Yeah. And Meredith, Meredith isn't weird. Meredith isn't mean or rude or inappropriate or anything. Like, the interaction between them is truly like very mature and very like on point. Like, it's exactly what it should be. No one's doing anything wrong. And it's such a short scene, but like so much happens in it. And it's like, they're both very talented actresses. So it's just like, ugh, so good.
Yeah. Also, it's just, I don't think you get a lot. You don't get enough of Addison and Meredith in the same room together. They have good chemistry together.
Yeah.
And I know we talk a lot about, you know, Denny and Izzy, while they're crazy, they have good chemistry. And there's a lot of, you know, even Christina and Burke and George and Callie. I guess really. Yeah. I mean, I guess Callie, but George, I guess, has fine chemistry with most people on the show. Just not other humans. and not Olivia, apparently. It's just an underrated interaction between the two of them, or underrated relationship.
We don't see much of it.
We haven't seen a lot of. Yeah,
I agree. They do have good chemistry, and they're both just so talented. It's great to see them together. Obviously, it makes sense that we haven't had a lot of scenes of the two of them together, other than basically the first time that Addison showed up. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to look back on like the first episode where Addison came in and asked for Meredith to work on her service with that other pregnant lady, to now, like, it's what a journey. Okay, so then we get Izzy on the phone lying to Burke about Denny's stats, and they're like, okay, we'll prove it, so you have to like run tests and like send us proof that this is happening, which is obviously a problem because he's fine.
Yeah.
So, That's neat.
She's fucking wild.
Yeah. She's really like off the deep, beyond off the deep end in this episode. I mean, and it comes in hot. Like, she is excited for Denny to get a new heart. Denny signs that DNR and then shit is everywhere. She is considering no repercussions whatsoever. She does not give a shit about shit. She is done. She would rip out her own heart and hand it to this man if that were an option to her.
I'm curious about the DNRs, though, and maybe you know this, Kelsey, or if you're listening, please let us know. Once you sign the DNR, is there a subsequent document that you can sign to void the initial DNR?
Yeah, I think so. I think you can, if you have like a living will, or you can just update your like hospital paperwork. I will say, when I was in Florida, every single time I went to the dermatologist, they would be like, "Do you have a living will?" And I would say, "No." And they would say, "Okay, if you pass out, go unconscious, or your heart stops, do you want us to save you?" And I was like, A, yes. And B, how often does that happen at the dermatologist that you have to ask me this every time I come here?
How intense is this ointment, doctor?
Like, I mean, I was going like, because I went in for like a regular check and they had to cut something off and then they had to cut more of it off. But I was there like five times probably in a year. And every single time they asked me that question and I was like, this is weird. Like, how many people are just like, how many people's hearts are stopping at the dermatologist?
Well, it's very, you know, I know that we've intertwined the veterinary circle into this show as well now, but
yes.
Even with for those of you who haven't heard, you know, I have a German Shepherd named General Grievous, and he's epileptic and he has seizures. But when we went to the animal hospital, they signed this waiver, and it's like they have different tiers of payments. And it's like if they do a procedure and he dies, the DNR is free. And then for like $200, they spend 20 minutes trying to resuscitate this dog.
God.
And then for like $400, they say they up to an hour will do CPR on your dog if your dog dies on the table. And I'm like, what a fucking weird.
God. Why would they
rank sign it?
I don't know. That with a dollar amount. That's weird.
I don't know. And every time we took him in for a procedure, they made us sign this. And I don't know why. I feel like I have never told you this. I don't know why this is just popping very vividly into my memory. But it's just, DNRs are just so weird. But my point is that why didn't she just go, "Hey, Denny, the situation has changed. I think we should talk about, revisiting the DNR because you might not get this heart," as opposed to, "Hey, I'm gonna ruin my entire career for this.
But
you ready to die?"
He said, "If I don't get this heart, I want to die." That's essentially what he said when they were having the DNR conversation. So it's not
right.
Like, oh, the DNR is only for like if something goes wrong during the surgery. He straight up was like, "If I don't get this heart, I don't want to fucking wait any longer for another one. I just want to die. Let me live in peace. Let me die in peace." Like, so I don't think there for her, she knows that she's not going to be able to change his mind. So sorry.
No, it's okay. I moved my microphone earlier too.
Okay. So we're going to pause for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland.
So we have two people in this episode, Shondaland. Do you want to guess who they are?
I do. I would like to guess. Is it two men, two women, or one of each?
One of each.
Hold on. Let me look at these notes here, because usually I can deduce. So I'm going to guess the weird emo long hair guy.
No.
Dang it.
Good guess. But no.
The mother and father of the brain dead girl. Okay, then I'm
out
of guesses.
It is first Ken Marino, who is Brad Ackles, who is the asshole manager. He was in one episode of Private Practice. And then Sydney Tamaya Potier, who plays Deborah, who is the woman who was used as a human shield more than once. she was in two episodes of Private Practice, different episodes I checked. So that's all that was in Shondaland this week. Sorry, a car went by and I thought it was like a tornado siren going off. Very strange sound. Muffled through the headphones. Anyway, so that was it. That was Shondaland. So good times. I did not include Dr. Han, but she will be back. So I guess that's kind of living in Shondaland. I don't know.
Are you going to use her later on down the line for, was she in other shows?
No, I think she may have done one of the crossover episodes with Private Practice where she was herself, but I don't think anything else.
Oh, okay.
So, but she will be in this show again. So
she's visiting Shondaland, not living.
Yes, she does not reside there permanently, but she visits often.
She has dual citizenship, though.
Incredible. Okay. So Derek and George are operating on Kendra. Derek says she's brain dead. It's very sad. There's nothing they can do because of where the bullet is. So they go to tell the parents, and the parents are like immediately, whoa, can she still carry this baby? Which I am sure is a grief response, but it is a jarring thing to think about as a pregnant person. Yeah, it's just weird. We'll get more into that obviously in a little bit. So this is when we get one of my favorite scenes, because the manager is still being a piece of poop in the ER and the emo guy is like, man, I wish I could say something. And Bailey's like, well, I could say something.
And I'm gonna
goes over and freaking hands him his ass on a silver platter, which is what someone should have done probably when he was like 12, so that he didn't turn out to be this person.
In their defense, someone was trying to kill him.
Oh, I just mean in life, someone should have told him not to be a garbage way earlier on in his life.
Right, right.
But yeah, so she gives just the best speech that's like, there are people in this room who are dying, and the thing that they are praying for is that you will shut up, not that they will live. So I love her. And then she just marches off because she's a badass. Christina and Meredith are talking. I say talking to each other. But they're not really talking to each other. It's not a conversation. They are both just each ranting their own rant and really not conversing with each other at all, which is kind of like a trope that we see in their relationship over and over again. And it's pretty funny. And this is when Izzy comes up and she's really having a hard time with
this is the scene that Christina's also like, I'm going to bet money that Christina's the one who goes crazy and shoots this place up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say Izzy or did I say Christina?
You said Christina, but I knew what you
meant. I meant Christina said about Izzy.
Yes, yes. This is also when she says, she comes over and she's like panicking. She's like, I told a lie to Dr. Burke. And Christina goes, good for you. Fight the power.
Yeah. Get your facts straight, Christina.
I love her so much. So she's like panicking and they're like, Izzy, it's fine. He's going to get the next heart. And she's like, no, it has to be this heart. Ah! And then they're like, okay, well, as long as he's on the LVAD and is fine, he's just not going to get this heart. And she's like, you're right. That's true. Thank you. And you're like, well, fuck. That's clearly not good. Because you kind of see her brain do something.
And it's not good.
And it's not good. It is, in fact, terrible. So she's like gathering all that shit and like rolling her little ass down the hallway on it. So that's fun. So she goes to his room and she's like, someone else might get the heart, but don't worry. I'm just going to kill you to get you to get the heart.
Which, of course, Denny is like, great idea.
No, thank you. So Burke and Alex are waiting to hear from Izzy. This is when we get the scene that you don't like. I would not personally describe this as cringy. I think the reality of what she is doing is absolutely absurd. And as much as I don't particularly care for Izzy, or really even Katherine Heigl, I will say that she's very talented. I think she does a good job in this scene. I believe that she is this distraught about the situation. Like, I fully believe she is absolutely does not give a shit about anything other than saving this man's life in this scenario to the detriment of her own career.
When I say cringy, yeah. I don't necessarily mean in the exact same way that the George and Meredith scene was cringy. I mean cringy in a sense of like, it's just unbelievable. It doesn't make sense. She's acting in a way as if she has been married to this man for a lifetime and they have children together. And the children will spontaneously combust if he dies and their lives are connected to his.
I will say, we going back to the whole, like, how did we get to I love you based on what we've seen? It doesn't make sense. However, because she is so talented, I do believe her reaction, if that makes sense. Also, because I already kind of don't love Izzy and other things she's done, I'm like, this is just the next step in all of your inappropriate bullshit. Like, yes. Even outside of Denny, like, we've seen it before with other patients, her like crossing lines and like getting too emotionally involved. So like, logically, this, like, something like this was bound to happen eventually. Did it happen earlier than we thought? Sure. And I agree, the whole relationship, I love you, whatever, it kind of comes out of left field, seems a bit rushed. But she just plays it so believably that I do believe it. But it is a lot to take in. Like, you do question, like, how did we get here? But at the same time, I'm like, I mean, she's committed. She's here. I don't really know what we missed, but she's fucking in it. So I don't know. It's a lot.
The lines that got me when she was like, what about me?
Yeah.
And when she said something about, I'll never forgive you for making me love you.
Yeah.
Or something like to that
effect.
She
says, I'll never forgive you. And he says, for dying. And she says, no, for making me fall in love with you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, Izzy, who cares? This guy is a patient. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But again, to your point, she's acting very well.
Yeah.
The scene is incredible.
Yeah.
It's just so, also, it's just so bad. Right?
The, like, am I making any situation sense? Is bad. Like, if you were,
it's
like,
so terrible.
This is the reality, not in a show. If you heard about this, you would be like, what the fuck kind of person would do that?
Yeah. And then Denny says yes.
Okay, like, I will say, an idiot. Like, his arc in this scene is also believable. I think they write it where he's like arguing, he's like, no, this isn't what I want, you're not listening to me, like, please. And then when he sees her, like, how, like, broken she already is, and he hasn't even died, and you can see him, like, also crying, because, like, he knows she won't basically be a useful human being if he dies. Like, she cannot survive it based on what he's seeing in this moment. So you see him, like, realize, like, that he cannot win this argument. She is, like, physically breaking down in every possible way in front of him. So he's like, it's
completely
fine.
into pieces. Yeah,
I can't do anything. I'm confined to a bed because my heart doesn't work, so it's not like I can fight you anyways, so let's just fucking steal an organ from another human being casually, like you do. I wrote, this scene is very dramatic and also peak Izzy. So that's how
she's evolved to her final stage. Maybe. I don't know.
So then Callie is bitching to George about how Meredith asked about the dog. And he's like, well, she likes her dog. And then that's when she's like, why are you sticking up for her? Like, I guess I could kind of understand why you stick up for Izzy, but Meredith is the one that hurt you, like, so much, and you're sticking up for her. And he's like, I can still be mad at her and, like, still be mad about what she did. But she's like, we're all, like, when you come in with this intern class, like, that's your family. This is all we have. And, like, we have to have each other's back. And, like,
but you didn't mention Alex.
Yeah. Alex gave him syphilis. And also no one likes Alex at this point.
That's fair.
And she's like, oh, so you don't have to forgive her, but I have to forgive her. And he's like, if you want to be in the family, then yeah, you do. Which is fair. And again, this is the way he presents it is not unkind. It's very just like matter of fact, like, and it's also kind of like, you've been here, you should remember what it was like to be an intern, blah, blah, all that stuff. So again, good episode for George. So love it when he's not annoying. Love that for all
he's
of us.
He's fine. He's fine when he's yeah. not annoying.
And his hair's still tolerable. Nice.
Yeah. He's better than Derek and Izzy right now.
Yes. So Burke talks to Izzy on the phone, and she does the Preston thing, so he knows that she's gone insane. And he's like, just keeps being like, what the fuck are you gonna do? What are you talking about? Like, please. And she's like, just hurry back. Denise doesn't have much time once I start murdering him. So that's fun. So he knows something's up, but he doesn't want to like admit that something's up. But he also doesn't want to steal an organ from another human being. So he goes back into the OR and says that he has to go check in person because everyone else is in surgeries from all the shootings. So no one else can check for him. But he has Alex stay there to make sure that they don't take the other heart. So it's just like a lot of things happening. So then Derek goes to Addison to ask her to talk to Kendra's parents to explain what's going on. And so she does. And they're like adamant that they're going to move forward with trying to keep the baby, and Addison gets real mad and like not so much with the bedside manner, and she's like, you can't use your daughter as an incubator, it's wrong, which I agree with, but the way she presents it is unkind. So Derek pulls her out of the room and he's like, you need to try and be more sensitive, and she gets super mad, and this is when she finally calls him out on everything we've been talking about all season. And she's like, all I want is for you to give a shit. Like, you do not care about anything. Like, you don't care if I make you mad. You don't care if I make you, like, you don't care about anything. I sleep with your best friend. All you do is leave. He comes here to rub it in your face. You don't give a shit. Like, I just want you to care that we're in this relationship, which is just not asking that much of your husband. Just giving a shit about anything you do. You're just not asking that much. It's a valid ask.
And she said, what is she? You don't love me. You're just feeling a need to be a good guy.
Yes. Which is so true.
Oh, like he just doesn't
want to leave a marriage. He just doesn't want to be the one that like calls it off, which I kind of understand, but I'm like, no one would fault you. Like that's like, no one would fault you. She cheated. You tried. It didn't work out. Well, I mean, he didn't really try, but I feel like,
but she did.
Yeah.
She's got a clear conscience. Her way is paved.
Yeah.
So I would like to take a pause
and
make an official prediction.
Okay.
They will be divorced by the end of season 3.
Okay.
Write that down. Everyone listening out there, take it to the bank. Also Ryan, Leah, make sure that, you text Kelki after this, you hear this tomorrow while you're streaming this on your drive to work or your midday lunch from home. You could text Kelki about how right or wrong I am, but I've got a good feeling. I think I'm right. So do it. And if you're listening out there, maybe email Kelsey, and let her know how right or wrong I am. Or if you're listening to this for the first time and you have a different prediction, maybe season 4. Maybe tomorrow. Let us know.
Maybe tomorrow. Yes, so it's a great scene. She is causing a scene because this is where she screams, oh, maybe I should just go on a date with the rage. Or sorry, go on a date with the vet because that seems to send you into a blind rage, but that won't work either because I'm not Meredith Grey. And they look over and just the whole hospital can hear them. So that's super cute. So again,
they should have found a hallway real quick.
Got to get yourself a stairwell.
Stairwell. Yeah.
Yeah. Or an elevator. Jesus. So not the most professional moment for Addison, but you know what? She's been sitting on this for a long time. She's doing I understand her break.
As soon as she walked into that scene with the parents and Derek was asking for that consult, I was like, she's going to explode. Something's coming. Do it.
Yeah.
Yell at him. And then when did it, am I unreasonably being annoyed at this, but when the doctor said, "I didn't ask for your opinion, miss," I was like, doctor to you, sir.
No, I had the same thing because he said that and I was like, I don't remember her correcting him. And then she didn't. And I was like, I'm livid.
No, yeah, exactly. And I watched that like twice just to double check. And I was like, she's a doctor. And she
if I went to medical school, I would be making everyone call me doctor. Are you kidding me? That's so
much work.
Excuse
me, miss. I'm sorry, doctor. Excuse me, sir. Oh, doctor.
Like literally someone in the store could be like, "Hi, ma'am. How are you?" I'd be like, it's doctor. Thank you so much. I'm in crippling debt because of the schooling. You will address me as such.
Yeah. Even if there's nothing on my person to make you believe or understand that, I am a doctor.
This baby is punching like out of my belly button. It's like an alien moment over here.
I love it.
It's very uncomfortable. Okay.
Get it, little boy.
So then George is checking in on Kendra and he asks the parents, like, have you guys made a decision? And they're like, no. And he's like, I don't have a daughter, but I do have a family. And it's a good moment. Another good moment of connection and like being there without pressuring people. And he's like, I obviously didn't know Kendra, but I've been talking to these other people who did know her. And she seemed like she always really wanted to help people and be there for people. And like her license says she's an organ donor and she could save, you know, dozens of lives by donating her organs if you choose to honor her wishes. And I feel like that's what she would want. And it's just like a good moment. Again, he's not pressuring them. He's just kind of talking to them with a different perspective. So it's a hard moment, but a good moment.
That's also the same moment where George refers to
Danny as Izzy's boyfriend.
My friend has a 36-year-old boyfriend with heart failure.
Yeah.
I'm like,
who's dying?
Fuck.
But they've been saying that for, you know, since we met Denny. That's why you keep thinking he's dying.
Yeah. Well, it's also it's an interesting point too, because right away he's like, who needs a heart? Which, by the way, you're not a match, so I have no stake in this race.
Yeah.
Which I think is very important, George.
Yeah.
Moment there.
Yeah, for sure. So Callie pages Meredith. And this is where we get a nice moment of like bridging the gap. And she's like, these are some x-rays of patients with bone cancer. This was their scenario. This one died. This one was chemo, blah, blah, blah. And so Meredith's like asked some follow-up questions and she's like, thank you so much. And Callie's like, it's just like a nice moment, right? Callie took what George said and applied it and doesn't seem bitter. And it's going to help everyone come together in happiness of family times. So good times. The fighting couple is getting discharged and Christina is super judgy and the girl's like, you should let go of all that anger. Forgiveness is so much better. And Christina's like, thanks so much for that advice. I'm definitely going to do that. So
yeah.
Good. I love her so much. So Bailey goes to update Will and tells him that Kendra didn't make it. This is when the manager comes over and like tries to be a good person. But this is how I know he's so intrinsically just like he's not choosing to be shitty. He just is this way because he's like, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. You know, everyone thinks it's my fault because he was trying to shoot me. But like, I didn't do it. But like, I'm going to get you the time off and like make sure your shifts are covered and they don't give your job away, blah, blah. So he's like, he is trying to not be shitty, but he's like still not being great. So I don't know. It's just like, it's almost a redemption moment, but then you're just like, ooh, and you're back.
And we are back.
Yeah. So it just is what it is. He's trying to be a good person. He's just not good at being a good person. So.
Also, I don't know what about that scene specifically. I think it was when he was like, I didn't do it. I didn't shoot anyone.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, oh yeah, the shooter's still out there.
Yeah.
Either this episode or next episode, something's going to go down. So it was that exact scene. I don't know what triggered it in my head, but I was like, yeah, something's going to happen. There's going to be a second shooting.
Yeah. You weren't wrong.
No, I was not.
So then Richard and Addison kind of have the moment and he's like, you got to get it together. Like, you just can't do that. And she's like, I don't know what else I can do. She says, The only people who don't know that Derek loves Meredith are Derek and Meredith. And I'm just like, well, then they're both fucking morons, because that's all anyone's been seeing the entire fucking season. But it's a nice moment where Dr. Weber does like comfort her, because again, they have a pre-existing relationship prior to her coming to work there. So he does kind of try and offer like some condolence. He's like, yeah, it sucks. Your marriage is garbage. Let me just pat you on the back. So sorry about that.
Yeah. Also, while we're at it, I should tell you about the time I cheated on my wife.
Casually, I've also had an affair. Good times. Okay, so Derek and Meredith are in the elevator again, because of course they are. It's angry and tense. They're just glaring at each other. So fun. Callie and George are in the locker room, and she tells him that she loves him. And he doesn't say anything back right away. And then Izzy bursts in and she's like, I need help. I wouldn't ask if it wasn't important. He's like, okay. And then he's like, bye. See you later.
In his defense, yeah. Callie immediately started like word vomiting after that.
Yeah.
She did not let him say anything back. Granted, in her defense, if he felt the same way, he would have said, shh, stop. Stop.
I love you too.
I love you too. Or he would have gone to help Izzy and said, I have to go, but I love you too.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Like, I will call you later. But yeah. He doesn't. He doesn't feel that way. Yeah, right. I'm sure it's been
have
two episodes.
Have you ever been in this scenario on either side?
No, I have not. On either side, I have not. I think every single relationship that I've been in where the L word was used, I think I've said it first every time, and I've never had anyone not say it back to me. Mm-hmm. But that's also because I'm incredibly lovable. So,
or you find other liars.
Yes.
Who lie
yes.
to your face.
That would be tough because I don't lie. Mm-hmm. Have you off the top of your head, has it ever been?
I have. With you? Been on the George side, where more than once someone said it to me and I didn't say it back and it was uncomfortable. So that's fun, but it's fine. I said it back when Michael said it the first time, so we didn't have that awkward moment. And now we're married, so everything worked out great for us. So I don't know. What will happen with Kelly and George? Do you want to make a prediction on that right now?
They're going to get married too.
Oh, that's so interesting, because two episodes ago you said they definitely weren't going to get married.
Oh, right. I don't know where they're going with this relationship.
That's fair, because it's kind of a weird one.
It is. And it's not weird in like...
It's just, I think it goes back to us not seeing a lot of it and then just kind of jumping to this point being like, what the fuck?
I'm also not the kind of person that thinks that, like, the cliches of opposites attract or really any of that bullshit, right? It's just like it doesn't make sense. And it's exactly that. We just don't see it. We don't see what they're feeling.
Even when the episode where she was like, he makes my world stop, and Izzy said that George was her McDreamy, it's like, even at that point, we were like, what are you talking about? Like, they just haven't been together that long. So it would make more sense if we had seen more of it. They're just telling us that they feel these things, but like, what are you based on what? This is when Meredith goes to Finn and she's like, I want you to be honest. I don't think you're telling the truth about how sick Doc is. And I want you to tell me the truth. And he says, okay, he's really sick. Like, best case scenario is 6 months and he's not best case scenario. And so then they hug and he's like, I'm sorry. I know you love him. And she's like, I do. I love him so much. And obviously she's talking about Derek and it's so
stupid.
She
is talking about Derek.
I hate it so much.
Yes.
It's been so nice and it's so fucking stupid. I do feel sad about the dog though. So.
Yeah. Sad dog, sad life.
Do you want to make a prediction on the dog?
The dog dies next episode. Really? Next episode?
Maybe. I don't remember specifically, but it's coming. No, I mean, we had talked about, I was going to warn you when this happened anyways, because it's a dog thing. So we can call it a spoiler. Everyone can be yelling at me for spoiling this, but because of our, we know our personal relationships with dogs, it had been previously established that I was going to warn Carmen before there was a dog situation. So this was always going to be spoiled. The dog is going to die very soon. I don't remember if it's the next episode or the one after. It's very sad. Again, we've talked about this. Not many things make me cry in a show or a movie, but when a dog dies, I'm not happy.
Yeah. So no one is.
Yeah. So everyone, that's it. I've spoiled the show for Carmen. We're going to quit the podcast because I told them the dog dies.
Yeah, no spoilies. Oh, wait.
So anyways, yeah, it was so annoying when she's like, I do. I love him so much. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like the fourth grade. So then this is where we get one of those classic Grace things where like so much shit is happening all at once. Izzy takes George to Denny's room and Izzy is explaining. She doesn't really tell George anything. She just starts telling Denny, like, this is what's going to happen. I have everything ready. I'm not going to let you die. I'm going to keep you alive. Are you ready? And then she like reaches over and grabs scissors and George is like, no, literally, what the fuck is going on? What are you doing? What is happening? Yeah. Someone needs to talk to me.
But it's also, he's not even that intense. He's like, hang on.
I think he's literally processing so it. Caught off guard that he's like, there's no urgency. Cause he's like, well, there's no way she could be doing this thing that she clearly is doing. So she must be doing something else.
This is all an elaborate prank. Denny's trying to punk me. This is all his idea.
Super weird. Which I kind of honestly understand because he's literally like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why would you bring me in here and then kill this patient in front of me that I know you're in love with? So then
when you put it oh my gosh.
Sorry, Carmen
when
has
you put
the
it
cough.
That way. When you put it that way, it sounds so much worse.
Yeah, it's super weird, but that's basically what's happening. So we see Brad leave the ER and then we hear gunshots. So the fighting couple is also being discharged and he again hides behind her and she's like, all right, yeah, we're breaking up. Which is fine.
Fool me once, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty clear he's now shown his true colors. Bailey runs outside. She's like, where are those gunshots? She runs outside to see what happens. Flash to Izzy telling Denny, if you see a light, don't go into it. And George is like, what is happening? And she's like, shut up and don't let anyone come in.
Because Burke will be here any second.
And she goes, because I'm going to stop his heart. That's a terrible plan. Bailey finds Brad shot outside. And then the person that we assume is Petey. Flashback to George being like, Izzy, you're going to have to not do this. Flashback over to Bailey, who runs over to Burke. We see that Burke has been shot. Jarring. Flashback to Izzy, who says Burke will be here soon, cuts the wire, cut to black, hear the flatline noise, and that's the end of the episode. Such good TV. Nom, 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 nom,
intense.
So good. So what were your thoughts when you see Burke outside?
I was shocked.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried. He's gonna live. I'm sure if you were watching this live, there was probably a lot in your mind of, well, they killed that bomb guy. So no one's off limits. But there was nothing in my head that thought he was gonna be dying. I did not expect someone to be caught in the crosshairs of that kind of significance.
Yeah.
Of this.
So
I knew that something had to happen with the gunman. I just didn't know what was going to happen.
If you'll recall several episodes ago, you made a prediction that for the season finale, one of the main characters would have a major medical event. So whilst that was vague, it was also correct. So
something
well
has to happen. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
So gold star. Do you have any other predictions on what's going to happen with Burke being shot other than he lives?
I think Christina and him are going to be done fighting for a little bit.
You think maybe they'll move past it because he's
maybe
about
they'll
to
move
die.
Past it. Yeah. All right. if Denny lives past these two fucking episodes. And if so, okay, the other thing too is I think it was spoiled that Katherine Heigl did what, 3 seasons, I think, only on Grey's Anatomy, 3 or 4 seasons. So she has to get written off at some point. And if the next series of episodes are all relating to how she crossed this ethical line and she's getting her license revoked and she just, that's how she leaves the show, I don't know. But I'm having this, because you don't physically see the scissors cut, right?
No, I think you hear this noise.
Yeah.
And then the flat line.
So, I don't know. Maybe there's a hope that she didn't actually do it and George stopped her. I was in the middle of writing something about George. And it says, I hope George, fuck, what? I think it's right.
Incredible.
Yeah. My notes are all stream of consciousness, basically. But I think I was in the middle of saying, I hope George doesn't get in trouble for this because I guess if he doesn't stop her, he's an accomplice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want that to happen to him. He's done nothing wrong.
Right.
So I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss for predictions other than Denny's going to be dead after these next 2 episodes. Burke and Christina aren't going to fight for like 3 episodes. Burke is going to live. But if the next, you said the next 2 episodes are back to back, right?
They aired together. Yeah. So we're going to watch them together. So that means it's going to be a little Grey's Anatomy movie.
Yeah. So something else crazy is going to fucking have to happen, or else it doesn't make any sense, because this to me seems like the first part of a 2-part episode. And then to tell me that the next episode is a 2-part episode, that shit's going to be wild. Maybe the gunman gets in the hospital. Maybe the gunman takes Addison as a hostage.
Oh my God.
Maybe Addison finally divorces Derek. I don't know.
Okay, so yeah, you know. Did your prediction with Addison and Derek was they'll be divorced by the end of season 3. Your prediction for Callie and George was you don't fucking know. Burke's gonna live. Denny's gonna die. Meredith, you want to do a Meredith Derek vet prediction?
If Derek and Addison are divorced by season 3, then Derek and Meredith are married by season 4.
Okay. What were my other questions? I think those are the main ones. I mean, nothing really was going on with Alex in this episode. Do you have anything you want to say about him?
Yeah, I just don't like him anymore. I liked him for like a minute and I don't like him anymore.
I think this episode, he's honestly fine. Like, he kind of got in the middle of the Christina and Burke thing, but not really intentionally. He just wanted to go with Burke to do the heart transplant. I'm still mad at him for being shitty to Addison, but other than that, I'm not. He's fine. I think those are the major things I was going to ask for predictions on. Here we go. Update a prediction for, because you had a prediction for Thatcher and Ellis, something about this, and by the end of season 2. I don't remember what your prediction was, but it was something.
I think it was just finding out
more about them, maybe about finding out about the affair.
Yeah, I think it was something along the lines of Meredith is going to find out more about the affair before the end of this season. I don't know. I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, I think it was something about Thatcher maybe coming back more, but maybe that was before the episode where his kid was in the hospital. I don't remember. Okay, do you have any other bold finale predictions?
Bold finale predictions. We're going to get a case of necrotizing fasciitis.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Love that.
Maybe another bomb inside a person.
Maybe. Who's to say?
But the dog dies, apparently.
Anything happens in Shondaland. Well, I had to warn you. I'm not going to let you go in blind.
Yeah. Well, here's
a dog death.
Okay. Excuse me. Bold prediction. The death of Doc makes Derek cheat on Addison with Meredith. And Finn and Addison walk in on them together. And then out of spite, they start fucking.
I was like, he's going to say that Finn and Addison fuck.
That's my bold prediction.
That is a bold one. That is bold. All right. Well, I love that for you. And I love this journey for us together. I'm super excited for us to watch the next two episodes because I know what happens. And it's going to be a good time. And season two is just, it's good grays. It's good grays TV. If you are listening, thank you so much for hanging in for almost two whole seasons. We're super enjoying doing this show. Carmen, I think, likes it more than both of us thought he would. I never thought you were going to hate it, but I do think you like it more than I thought that you would, which I love.
I also like it more than I thought I would, but yeah. I can't, I really can't hate a medical show. I can't.
Yeah. So we appreciate all the support and sharing us. I'm trying to get back on the horse with the Instagram because I kind of fell off the face of the earth there for a minute when I was dying, but I'm picking back up again. So if you have a moment to share us with your friends on Instagram or Facebook, we'd super appreciate that. If you have a minute to leave just a review or a rating, either one, they both really help bump us up in the algorithm for other people to find us. And we are super excited to get into this finale with you guys. So thanks so much for listening. And remember,
no spoilies. Don't spoil shit. Don't do it at all. And leave us a 5-star review. We love you. And we will see you all in the next one.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.